COVID-19 has changed life as we know it. And I know many have reached a breaking point, being self-quarantined in their homes for weeks on end. We're wondering if life will ever get back to normal. And what will the new normal look like? Domestic violence, suicide, hopelessness are all trending up, as is unemployment and anxiety. And many have gone into survivalist mode. Let's just get through this day. Let's get through this hour. What else can we do? But what if I told you that you can do much more than survive? You can thrive. The Apostle Peter shows us how to do that in his second epistle. This is the guy who denied Jesus three times, the disciple whose foot was permanently attached to his mouth. He rushed ahead when he should have waited. He slept when he should have prayed. He talked when he should have listened. But he learned his lesson, which gives hope to us all, because we're all guilty of those things, not focusing on what and who we should. The first century church was very counter-cultural, so much so that the Roman Emperor Nero declared hunting season on all Christians. Intense persecution takes place. Believers look anywhere for hope. But during those troubled times, the church not only survived, it thrived. And individual Christians thrive spiritually. Now, how in the world did that happen? Well, Peter answers that question for us. What he says is, if you are burdened, if you despair about the pandemic, if you have found no real purpose in life, if you're unsure of life after death, if you question a literal second coming, then this study is for you. So Peter begins by offering a greeting in the first two verses and proclaims that we have a shared faith and a shared grace and a shared peace. That because we are Christians, we have these things. But they only come through a knowledge of God and a knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Bad times are here. And what's worse, they will continue to get worse themselves. So what do we do? How do we handle this? How do we be more than survivalists? How can we thrive? Well, Peter asked, do you want to thrive spiritually in difficult times? Not just a pandemic, but just difficult times in life that you face. If you do, then you have to get back to the basics. So this is what he writes in verses 3 and 4 of that first chapter of 2 Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, what does all that mean to us? What are the promises that are proclaimed? What are we talking about here? Well, it's simply this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. The same power that gave him the opportunity to walk out of the tomb alive gives us everything we need to live this life and thrive. Here's the key. God has given you everything, not just a little bit, not just a large amount. He's given you everything you need to live for him. You lack nothing. Nothing. There are no excuses then. Because God has said, I've given you everything you need to live this life for me. Especially in difficult times. Especially during seasons of trial. And I think the coronavirus qualifies as one of those difficult times, don't you? Now, some of you know I have OCD. That's obsessive Christmas disorder. I know there's no cure. I'm addicted to Hobby Lobby and Hallmark and all those other stores. My parents are the same. They taught me to do this, but I perfected it. Now, the problem is when I was growing up, they had a flaw in their Christmas celebrations. They had this one fatal mistake that they made every December 25th, and it killed my Christmas joy. They would always buy us wonderful presents, my brother and I, and it was just a great Christmas morning. The problem is they always forgot the batteries. Every year, a battery-powered toy without batteries is a paperweight. And I had dozens of them. Now, God comes along through Simon Peter and he says, you have everything you need to claim the promises of God, to overcome the burdens and the grief of this life, to overcome the worry and that anxiety that comes from things like pandemics. You have the power to face the toughest temptation and spit in its face as you walk away. You have that kind of power. But too many believers fail to charge their batteries. They fail to tap in to that power source. What am I talking about? How about worship? Whether it's in this building or in your home, as you watch these services, as you worship there, singing the songs that we sing here that Brandon and the team leads us in, you can find power in reading the Word every day. And we, on our website, we have reading plans that we gave out in January, and they're there on our website again. So you can start reading the Bible if you got away from it. Here, you find supportive and accountable community. Even now, online, we offer that accountability and that love. Serving God, helping others. See, God never intended us to remain baby Christians. He never intended us to possess the Spirit, but never transform, never change. Our priorities, our goals, our morals, all of those things, they change the closer we get to God. He never intended for us to have the Word, but never grow, to know the truth, but never share it. Do you have marriage problems? Are you dealing with conflict with your kids? Conflict with your parents? Do you have problems at work, or maybe you're out of work? You've lost your job, or you've been furloughed. Do you have any conflict in important relationships that you have now? A habitual sin, perhaps, in your life? Do worldly events, the things around you, worry you? Or do they make you angry? Or do they beat you down? I want you to understand, whatever you're facing today, God does not leave you powerless. He does not leave you without answers. He promises to give you everything you need to face life, to face trials, and to live for Him. Now the key is purposefully growing closer to God. Look at verses 5 through 7. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. These are seven powerful traits. And it begins by saying, make every effort. See, these things don't come naturally. They just don't happen to you. You have to make the effort. You have to work to add to your faith these seven impactful traits. And they're going to change your life. How much? Let's look. For if you possess these qualities, those seven powerful traits, in increasing measure, they will grow. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We keep seeing this theme, knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus. That's very important to note. Because to grow in these traits, to grow closer to God, we need a knowledge of God. And that's why we have to make the effort. We keep maturing. And all of our days will count for something. Or someone. You're going to have a purpose in life. You will have value in life. You will make a difference in life. You know what? No one wants to leave this earth and not be remembered. But you don't have to break sports records. You don't have to invent something amazing. You don't have to change the world to be remembered. All you need to do is to make an impact on the lives in your circle. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. If you live this way, and we're talking about God's way, if you live this way, you're going to make a difference in this life, and you're also going to make a difference in the life to come, because people are going to be blessed because of you. All of these things take place as you grow closer to Him. But with these promises comes a warning. But whoever does not have these qualities is nearsighted. In other words, you can't see far into the future. You are even blind. You forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So these nearsighted, or worse yet, blind people have forgotten how they got started with God in the beginning. How their relationship with Jesus Christ continued to grow after they accepted Him. They have no purpose. They're not looking forward to anything. They're stuck in the present, and a lot of times stuck in the past. When you aren't growing, when you aren't maturing, when your knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus Christ becomes stagnant, then you're missing out on these blessings. And Peter says you lose the wonder and amazement of what Jesus did for you on the cross, of what His resurrection means. Apathy sets in. And you find no pleasure, no amazement in worship. It just becomes a habit. It's something you endure. It's something you can just, I'm done, and close your computer screen and walk away. It's that connection to God that is needed to keep us moving forward. And what happens when it gets to that point, we're unable to see what's going on in our lives spiritually, sometimes emotionally. We're unable to see what's going on in the world, and we may not understand it, but instead of turning it over to God, we try to carry that burden on our own. You're going to take for granted the forgiveness that God gave you if you do not continue to add these seven qualities. You're going to stumble along in life. Some people have no purpose. They have no true meaning. They wonder why they're here constantly. Life becomes, what can I accumulate? And where can I go on vacation? And who can I impress? And what possessions can I own? And we lose the thought of connecting with God. I have a cousin who plays golf. Now, I'm a bad golfer, but he makes it look like I could play on the PGA Tour. He plays golf. He enjoys it. He buys all the newest equipment when it comes out, and the clothes, and anything that can be purchased to make him look good. He does that. And he loves going out to the golf course. He loves hanging out with the groundskeeper, talking about the day. He loves walking around, but he has no idea of why he's on the golf course. He doesn't understand that you're supposed to get the ball in the hole in as few strokes as possible. Half the time, he just picks up his ball halfway and says, "Oh, okay, I'm done." You find him over in the woods just looking for other people's lost balls. Or he's taking pictures of birds. Or he's hanging out with other golfers, bothering them. He doesn't have a handicap. When you play with him, he is a handicap to your game. He's lost the purpose. He doesn't know why he's out there. Same thing happens to a lot of believers. We take our eyes off the cross. We take our eyes off Jesus. We never grow closer to him. We never think of him unless, of course, we're in trouble. And we lose a sense of purpose. We forget why we're here on earth. We forget that Jesus came to redeem us, that he wants to be in our daily lives, and we slowly lose our passion and our gratitude and the love that bravely moved us forward to accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. So what's the cure for this apathy? How do we re-energize ourselves? How do we get the batteries at full power? Let's go back to verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. Through our knowledge of him. How well do you know God? What kind of relationship do you have with his son? How much time do you spend talking to him in a day? How much time do you spend in the word? Just reading about God, reading about Jesus' life, having a set reading plan that can take you through the New Testament, or take you through the Old Testament, or the entire Bible. And as you read, what you begin to understand is everything in the Bible points to Jesus. In the Old Testament, the theme is Jesus is coming. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the theme is Jesus is here. And in the rest of the Old Testament, the theme is Jesus is coming back. Everything points to Jesus. So as you read, you understand why he came. You understand why Jesus died for your sins, how he opened the door of heaven. Do that, and your life changes dramatically. You will feel closer to God than you've ever felt before. But what happens is, as you continue on this path and you're adding those seven traits, those seven qualities, you're getting closer to him than you were last year or last month. For some people, it's even last week. Make every effort to add to your faith. You have to work at it. Listen, bad times are here. More bad times will be coming. And I'm not just talking about a virus. I'm talking about what happens in our lives when we lose loved ones, when we lose a job, when we're having conflict in those important relationships. Ready yourself now by getting closer to God now. You are preparing for what's up ahead, for good and also for bad. And you can whine, you can complain, you can get angry about being self-quarantined in your house and not being with family and friends. Peter knows all about whining and complaining and anger. And he's trying to tell you, listen, you don't have to let that define you. The first thing you must do when you're crushed physically, when you're crushed emotionally, and sometimes, yes, even spiritually, is to grow closer to God. Don't ever stop doing that. Look what he writes to remind us. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort. Again, you see, it doesn't come naturally. It takes a lot of work. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Put in the effort. Make that your desire. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know what he's done for me. Make this your desire. Put this first in your mind. And the opposite is true with this. Because if you don't do these things, you're going to stumble. It's inevitable. So who in their right mind wouldn't do them? I hope some of you right now are having that aha moment. And you're saying to yourself, well, here's the answer to my stumbling around in life. Here's the answer to my finding purpose and meaning and value and having good, honest relationships and building confidence in myself and others and making a difference in the lives of those around me. You see, these are real warnings and these are real promises. And God says, if you do these things, if you are in the Word, if you put the Word into practice, if you grow your faith, and if you share that faith, if you confirm that you are here on earth for God, then at the end of your life, you get the ultimate promise. And Peter doesn't keep it quiet. He doesn't make it a secret. He tells you what this ultimate promise is. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have this promise. You keep growing closer to God. You're going to overcome the temptations. You're going to overcome This feeling that I don't make any difference at all. And you're going to say, Jesus, my salvation is real, but more than that, I've grown close to you. After the 2019 World Cup Championship, our women's soccer team celebrated with a ticker tape parade in New York City. Everyone cheered for them. There were cries of USA, USA. There were autographs and selfies and bands and cheering crowds all for the victors. I want you to know an exponentially greater welcome awaits those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. You know, I'm often asked why the Bible says everyone will be judged. And they ask, well, why do Christians have to experience judgment? Haven't our sins already been forgiven? And you're right, they have. But I think one reason we are judged is so that our rewards will be revealed. Salvation is the result of grace. We don't earn heaven. We can't buy it. We can't barter for it. It is a gift to us. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have that gift. But how we serve him on earth impacts our heavenly rewards. Now, I once thought this sounded strange, and I still do a little bit. Because it's hard to understand. The Bible offers just enough teaching to reveal that rewards exist, but not enough to answer all our questions. Well, what are the rewards? What are we talking about? How do we get them? And we aren't told. But in addition to the crown of life and righteousness and glory, we have other rewards. Scripture seems to indicate that. You can read more in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I could be wrong, which I often am, My wife describes me as someone who is frequently wrong, but never in doubt. I think that's her way of saying that I'm hard-headed. But I'm going to say this. I could be wrong, but I think rewards come in the form of added responsibilities in heaven. Not added privilege, but added responsibility. And I think one verse is an example of indicating that when Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." It's a promise that he makes here, and it has nothing to do with privilege. It seems to indicate that the things you've been given responsibility for in this life, and you did well, and you were faithful, that God's going to give you more responsibility. I think it doesn't have anything to do with more relaxation or a bigger mansion or a seat nearer the throne than somebody else. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's responsibilities. Now, if you don't agree with me, that's okay. All I say is just make sure your opinion comes from Scripture and not feelings. Make sure you can look into the Word and say, this is what I think the rewards mean from this verse or from this section of Scripture. Now, we do know this. We are saved by the grace of God. We are rewarded according to what we do with our lives here. Anything beyond that is speculation. We just don't know. And from time to time, whenever I offer this opinion, someone suggests, well, David, that's not going to work because that's going to cause competition here on earth so we can get more rewards than other people. And then when we get to heaven, people are going to be jealous or they're going to be arrogant over their responsibilities. Well, let me say, first, it's not like the Daytona 500 where only one driver wins. Everyone can choose heaven. Everyone can choose to live for God, to dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ, to be rewarded in heaven. Everybody. So we're not competing. And secondly, in our sinless state in heaven, where there are no temptations, because there is no devil, no fallen angels, the demons to tempt us, then things like pride and envy and jealousy don't exist. Our focus will finally and eternally be off ourselves and focus fully on Jesus for all of eternity. We will gladly possess the attitude that Jesus spoke about in Luke 17. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, in other words, be obedient, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." We don't earn heaven. We're just doing our duty for the Lord here. We're not striving to be better than other people. We're not looking down on baby Christians saying, "Well, I don't know more of the Bible than you do." All we are is obeying God. We're doing what He asks us to do, what He expects us to do. So Peter says, why stumble around in your life? Why get angry or worry over the state of affairs in our culture? He says, you knew trouble was coming. The Bible says that. You live in a fallen world. There's going to be a lot of trouble down here. So why be surprised about recent events with pandemics and terrorism and crime and racism and pornography and domestic violence and persecution? The Bible warns us such things will happen and it will get worse until He returns. And until that happens, focus first on your relationship with God. Look forward to that incredible celebration that will welcome you into heaven. Prepare for that now by getting to know God, getting to know His Son, getting to know the Word. And in the meantime, you grow in your faith and knowledge. You be faithful. You do what you're asked to do. You be obedient. And look forward to hearing God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." If you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ, don't wait for restrictions to be eased and the virus begins fading. You contact us through email, through our website, and you ask your questions, and let us help you have that relationship with Jesus. Accept that gift of eternal life. Be baptized with Him. We'll work out all the details with you. But this is what you are called to do. This is why you're on earth. To live for Him. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your words. Words of hope. Words of truth. Words of life, eternal life. May we seek you through your word, through prayer, through being with others when that time comes and it's allowed. May we serve you, and may we always know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Be safe.